Support for Under the Radar comes from Wellwithall. Wellwithall believes that self-care is community care. Premium products crafted for your daily wellness, from sleep support to heart health to your daily regimen. 20% of Wellwithall's profits are committed to leading the fight for health equity. They won't stop until it is truly Wellwithall.
Under the radar means hearing about things you didn't know you needed to know until you hear them.
It's a serious look.
Hear about the issues that don't get the attention they deserve.
Under the radar doesn't get caught up in the day-to-day.
Surfacing issues that are not talked about in mainstream media.
I think it's something that connects us to each other.
Under the radar is all about discovery.
I can be guaranteed voices I haven't heard before.
But also the questions.
Under the radar is one step ahead.
I'm Callie Crossley. This week on Under the Radar with Callie Crossley, organizations across the Bay State are joining together to take on a bold mission, eliminating hunger in Massachusetts. More than 1 million people in the state who can't count on their next meal try to make ends meet with federal funds for food. Over half of those are families with children. The new Make Hunger History Coalition includes leaders of food banks, legislators, and other advocates for hungry residents whose stated goal is to make Massachusetts the first state to end hunger permanently. Later in the show, it's ironic that fictional tech entrepreneur Sarah Che created an innovative app about death when her life was a mess.
She has to deal with the aftermath of sending messages out to her parents, and she's living with her little sister, Gia. She's living in Gia's closet, actually.
Author Suzanne Park's One Last Word is a romantic comedy with humor and heart, and it's our May selection for Bookmarked, the Under the Radar Book Club. But first, joining me, Jennifer Limmerman, Chief Policy Officer for Project Bread. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Callie. Thanks so much for having me.
Also with me, Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I want to start this way because I don't assume that people know how each of your organizations work. So, Andrew, why don't you kick it off? Explain what the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts is.
We are one of four food banks in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and one of 200 across the country under the banner of the Feeding America National Network of Food Banks. We like to describe ourselves as a food warehouse resource education and advocacy center, where we focus on food insecurity, not knowing where your next meal will come from, and hunger in the four counties of Western Massachusetts.
And the counties that you cover, your geographic area?
Hampden County, Hampshire, Franklin, and Berkshire counties.
Now, over to you, Jennifer. Project Bread is a name I'm sure people have heard, but you're not a food bank. So let's have you articulate what Project Bread is.
Absolutely. So Project Bread is a statewide anti-hunger nonprofit organization, and we take a radical approach to ending hunger in our state, and we do it through policy, prevention, and partnerships. So we work directly with policymakers to write and pass policies that end hunger. And at the same time, we run programs that remove barriers and make achieving food security easier for people across the state. So we work with schools, community leaders, and existing systems to create food security for everyone.
So as you've said, you've had partners in this work with other organizations and institutions like perhaps Andrew's at the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. But what's happening now is something perhaps we don't know may end up being a first of its kind. But that's a collaboration of all of the folks who are involved in the work of trying to eliminate hunger in Massachusetts, however they work, coming together under this coalition called Make Hunger History. So why now, and how did it come together, Jennifer?
So, you know, here in Massachusetts, we're a state that's out ahead when you look across the country in terms of addressing food security. But food insecurity persists. We still have too many families and too many individuals across the state who don't know that they can count and rely on where their next meal will come from. So as we've made this incredible progress in recent years in Massachusetts, things like making free school meals for all permanent, and that momentum at our backs, advocates and our partners within the government, the state legislature, the Healey administration, as well as experts with lived experience across the state, started having conversations about how can we look at where we're at here in Massachusetts and really make that progress together. Take all of our efforts that we've all been working on that have been successful in their own ways and have them all work together and support each other. And that's really where this coalition started coming together. So when you look at the groups and the individuals that are involved here, lots of us have been partnering together in different iterations and in different ways on various efforts. But this is really the first time that all of these folks have come together and said, let's really together align on how do we define ending hunger? How do we draw the roadmap to make that happen? And how do we measure it and make sure that we're being successful throughout our time that we're working together on it?
So Representative Jim McGovern from Massachusetts, some may know, has been a longtime advocate for focusing on hunger and food insecurity. And he was the driving force behind a White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health in February. And Andrew, I know you said this was an occasion which helped to stimulate the coming together, the collaboration that we're talking about. And before you speak to that, let's take a listen to Representative McGovern talking about, just speaking from that White House conference.
You know, I've been in Washington a long time. I've been to 1,000 conferences. Many of you have too. You go to a conference, everybody takes pictures, everybody gives nice speeches, you know, go out for drinks afterwards, and then that's it. The White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health is different. There has been follow-up, and you have been part of the follow-up. There are real commitments. And not only the private sector and in the nonprofit sector, but in the public sector.
So, Andrew, the Make Hungry History Coalition is part of the follow-up. Talk about that connection, if you would.
You know, we're really excited to be part of this coalition because we believe ending hunger is both a moral and an economic imperative. And we believe we can end hunger if we galvanize the will of society and the power of the public-private partnership to carry it out. And this Massachusetts plan under this coalition is the roadmap to achieve it. You know, we've been partnering with about 180 local frontline food pantries, meal sites, and shelters through which we provide most of the food assistance, direct food assistance, when and where people need it. And out here in the four counties of Western Massachusetts, we're talking about almost 1 million meals every month to over 100,000 people every month. And we've seen that number increase because of inflation principally, and we know what the drivers of that are, even in the post-pandemic period. And of course, you know, costs, particularly housing, affordable housing. So we look at our job as providing food assistance when and where people need it. But we also, like Project Bread, like to look at what are the underlying causes of hunger? And we know that the immediate or proximate underlying causes are, quite frankly, affordable housing, childcare, transportation, and the list goes on and on and on. And there are even deeper underlying causes. And because of that, we know that we can't end hunger if we just do the work of quote unquote traditional food banks providing food assistance. So for that reason, we're involved in SNAP outreach and enrollment assistance, nutrition education, and much like Project Bread, we partner together on public education and advocacy at the state and federal level. But we believe we can have a much greater and profound impact in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts because we are a state of firsts. We've been the first throughout history in so many respects, whether it's child labor laws, in the late 1800s to the first minimum wage in the country in the early 20th century, and many other things. And we believe this coalition will demonstrate that we can be a first in ending hunger as well.
If you're just tuning in, this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley, and I'm speaking with Jennifer Limmerman, Chief Policy Officer for Project Bread, and Andrew Morehouse, you just heard him, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. We're talking about a new coalition that wants to end hunger in the state. So you mentioned, I think both of you referenced that it's always urgent trying to get people who are hungry fed, but the situation now with inflation and the other squeezes around some doctors would call social determinants of health, housing, poverty, have increased, frankly. That started in COVID. It got worse. But I just want to give people a sense of what we're talking about in terms of the uptick that you mentioned, Andrew, that is happening now. This is Western Mass News, who spoke with Donna Morata, the president of Lorraine's Soup Kitchen in Chicopee, about their struggles last year.
We are seeing more people today than we did last year or the year before. The price of eggs, everything has risen so fast and so quickly. We're seeing more people. So we're even seeing, you know, people that are working, middle class, you know, that just need a little extra help.
I think that's one of the points I always have to bring up in these conversations, because people tend to be surprised that a lot of people, Jennifer, who were never in line or who were never reaching out to you for services to try to get food, to try to deal with food insecurity, are now those people. Maybe they were donors in the past, but now they are those people.
Absolutely. You know, what we saw at the start of the COVID pandemic was rates of food insecurity shot. Felt like overnight, right? I mean, people were finding themselves out of work. The economic impacts of that time persist. And you know, even new ones have been introduced to the scene. And so exactly as you said, Kelly, there are people who had never accessed the resources before. They had never been in the situation where they needed support, and they didn't necessarily know how to find it and where to go. The food banks, and Andrew can speak to this, of course, and you know, already has, but, you know, have just seen persistent need over the course of the past several years. And so that is part of why this is the time that we need to have this holistic approach. We need to have, you know, as President Biden said when he spoke at that conference that you referenced in Washington, D.C., we need a whole of government and a whole of society approach to really make the progress that's needed to end hunger. It is ultimately an economic condition. It's the result of many years of policy decisions. And here in Massachusetts, we want to bring together all the stakeholders who can bring those perspectives and that expertise to the table to create a holistic view and roadmap of how we're going to end it here.
Well, let's hear from someone who knows firsthand what the problem is, because she is living it. My producer spoke with Northampton residents Kia Aoki, who talked about her struggles with food insecurity. She never expected to need assistance.
Dealing with food insecurity was something, because I come from an upper middle class background, was something that was really new to me and really threw me for a loop. And understanding how it is to not only be responsible for yourself, but, you know, for two kids, you know, who are just like adolescents and just like, what the hell is happening?
And she also pointed out, as you did, Andrew, and I just want you to know that she's recognized this too, that hunger is just one aspect of food insecurity.
It's not just being hungry, but it's all those things connected to not having enough to eat that really like changes your perspective on absolutely everything connected to food insecurity.
So I just wanted to put that on the table. That's a real person who found herself in a situation she did not expect to be in and is now. And that's representative of a lot of people that you all are trying to service right now. Andrew, you wanted to comment.
You know, it's really easy to judge somebody when you see them perhaps on the street, clearly in need of support or on the line at the supermarket or wherever you may be. But we don't know their stories. And when you have the opportunity to talk with folks, you know, who are very vulnerable and for whom this brings a lot of shame, unfortunately, in this society, when oftentimes the circumstances they're facing are beyond their control. Oftentimes even luck has a lot to do with what people are afforded and come into this world with or without. And there are all kinds of barriers that people face, both social, economic, and political, quite frankly, and environmental. Where you live, what zip code you live in may determine what opportunities you have and therefore what level of economic stability you and your household may or may not have. We think at one level it's very complicated. There's so many factors that come into play, but at another level it's pretty simple. Everyone has a right to healthy food, we believe, and we think in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts we can ensure that, and it will pay off in the long run. That if we care for one another, we're going to build more successful, viable, strong, resilient communities that support everyone and, stimulate economic growth, generate taxes that we can reinvest in strong communities. So we think it's a smart thing to do.
And from a practical standpoint, there is evidence. I was fascinated looking at the statistics that with the COVID benefits, that was the monies that came in during COVID, because probably everybody is aware that the hunger situation was really bad in some communities. It just caught everybody off guard, and there were all of the usual pathways by which people might have been able to get assistance were sometimes stymied, sometimes just went away. Having said that, when the federal government finally kicked in with COVID benefits, what we saw here in Massachusetts is that there was a decline in the number of individuals, Andrew, who needed to get services from the food bank, but it started kicking up again. So what that says to me is that the need didn't go away, and that the increased support to families helped them become more stable. So that's, we can see the impact of having a kind of an across-the-board net, which is what you all are trying to put together here, to support these people and get them more stable.
Absolutely. And not only did we see that in the Commonwealth, but across the country. Studies have proven that, one policy that was permanent during the period of COVID and is no longer, was the child care tax credit. Reduced poverty by over 40%, and now Congress is reinstating a much smaller version of that, and hopefully bipartisan support of it will demonstrate that this is a smart policy. It actually helps everybody, and it's the right thing to do on top of it. So that kind of speaks to our philosophy at the food bank out here in the Western provinces, as I like to call them sometimes, because we're forgotten and our rural issues are distinct from the Eastern urban centers, is that, we're kind of like a big tent. And I think that's what this coalition is all about. We invite everyone to be a part of the solution, because everyone can and everyone needs to be if we're going to end hunger.
Jennifer, I wanted to just raise up another point, too, that improved as a result of a COVID-related issue, but then it became permanent. And that's the free breakfast program for kids in Massachusetts across the state. Just explain why that permanence and what that has done, because I think perhaps a lot of people don't understand that those kids that need the free breakfast, what a relief that is for their families. And often that's where they eat.
Here in Massachusetts now, every child who's enrolled in a public school has access to both a breakfast and a lunch at no cost every day that they're at school. And so when you think about a family who is experiencing food insecurity, whether it's, a chronic challenge that they've had, or whether something is going on in their lives that has made accessing food more challenging, that relief to know that your child is going to get that food, not only just psychologically, but the very real benefit to the family budget that is. It's about $1,200 per year per child that a family saves by having access to these meals. And so you have that security. And we know, you know, we knew from COVID, as you mentioned, there were so many programs that were put into place on both the federal and state levels. You could literally with your naked eye look at a chart of food insecurity rates over that time period and point out where those kicked in and where they started to cycle off, because it was a very direct impact. And this was one of those programs. You know, overnight meal sites were set up across the state because people recognized immediately when schools close and that school food is not available, that is a major impact and a huge detriment. And so, you know, they made them free for everyone nationwide. And seeing that benefit, the state really stepped up and said, you know, the federal government is ending this program, but we can't take this away.
So let me just also put on the table, Jennifer, for you to ask you to explain, why it is that Black and Latino households especially have high rates of food insecurity?
Yeah, there is a huge disparity when it comes to, you know, demographics and the impact of food insecurity. And Black and Latino households consistently experience not only higher rates, but rates that are over time stay higher. So when you look at past economic downturns, when you look at the current economic situation, you see that the impact of that is greater on Black and Latino households, and that the recovery is slower. So we know that that is something that is, you know, needs to be addressed. It is absolutely critical for that dynamic to be taken head on in order to reach our goal of permanently ending hunger in Massachusetts. And the reason for it, you know, really is that we have policies, whether it comes from, as Andrew said, the zip code that you live in or what resources you have access to. Over time, there have been a series of policy decisions and, you know, other factors that have made it harder for some families in our state and in, you know, families across the country to access the resources that would support them when they need it. And so that has to be addressed in this roadmap that this coalition is going to work out together.
And oftentimes, what I have learned over time is that the people who most need some of these resources have no idea they even exist. There may be a lot of criticism out there thinking all these people are on the take. They don't even know they exist. Most of the time they've gone without when they could legitimately be connected to something that might help them. And I thought that Aoki spoke about this when she talked about moving to Northampton to be with relatives, but she ended up being homeless, and a social worker helped her to begin to put her life back on track.
Out of desperation, I was actually stealing food from Stop and Shop. And then I discovered, you know, somebody that there was, it's hard to remember a lot of these details, but I think there was a social worker that said that I do qualify for food stamps.
And that, I thought to myself, that statement brought me back now to the coalition. And it seems to me that if the collaboration is such that maybe there's a net that doesn't allow for so many people to fall through it, because there's kind of you can catch people easier if there's overlap. Am I misconstruing what this coalition could be, Andrew?
Not at all. I think you're right on the mark. The coalition is really designed to connect the dots between all of the partners, like the food banks and policy organizations like Project Bread, that work together so that we can ensure there are no gaps in the immediate food assistance services we provide, and then in our coordinated efforts to address policy change, because we know that that's where we're going to have the greatest impact in leveling the playing field so everyone has opportunities regardless of where they live, what zip code they live in, so that we're lifting all boats, because we know historically our economy has not done that. As much as some would like to think that, you know, economic growth raises all boats, we know, and we've seen it with every downturn in the economy, that our gateway communities suffer the most, and they don't bounce back nearly as quickly, if at all. And so, you know, that has to do with policies that, you know, for no necessarily intentional reason, although there's a history that it was very intentional, create barriers and disparities of opportunity and benefits. And you know, the term can be used to describe that is systemic racism. It's not necessarily intentional, although there have been cases of that, and we can point to those. But in this day and age, oftentimes they're unintentional, but they equally need to be addressed so that we are addressing that disproportionality or the fact that Black and brown communities are being disproportionately impacted on many, many social ills, including food insecurity.
If you're just tuning in, this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley, and here with me are Jennifer Limmerman, Chief Policy Officer for Project Bread, and Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. We're discussing the state of hunger in Massachusetts and what is being done to curb it. Now, what can this coalition do? I know this will be part of your mission to address what is a persistent, it seems to me, myth that the people who need the services, whether they be your food bank services or the many other connected resources that you have, Jennifer, at Project Bread, are you know, just taking and they don't really need the services, that they're angry with them. And I never can understand where that comes from. How do you address that kind of persistent thought that these people are unworthy to avail themselves of these services?
Yeah, it absolutely needs to be a major part of the plan that this coalition puts together, is that movement building, addressing stigma, public education. You know, I think people are shocked to find out even just the rate of food insecurity here in Massachusetts. People don't understand, you know, that it's their neighbors. It's invisible in a lot of ways. There's an incredible amount of stigma that people overcome in order to get the resources that they need. And this roadmap that the Make Hunger History Coalition is in the process right now of drafting and will be implementing together, it will have policy recommendations, of course. Systemic change through policy is critical to this goal, but it just as importantly needs to build a movement in our state that changes the way that we see how people become food insecure, how they access the resources that are available to them, what it means to live your life, you know, with the threat of food insecurity and what we can do about it. We need to change the way that people perceive that, frankly, the way that, you know, people are talked about when they utilize these resources. It's a critical component of this goal.
Andrew, what would you add to that?
I think it has a lot to do with this persistent myth that people who are poor are take advantage of the system, they're lazy, and you know that goes back to the 19th century and the industrial era, when so many people were displaced from employment opportunities, and you know we know that is dated. And unfortunately, there are people out there who find it an easy way to stake a position and divide us, when in fact, if we really look at and listen to why people are food insecure or experience hunger and confront poverty, we hear a very different story, and I applaud Project Bread for taking the lead on reaching out to people who experience food insecurity and having them support this coalition and guide it, so that the work that we're doing moving forward is grounded in their experiences of survival and resilience and persistence to overcome overwhelming odds that most people, I would venture to say, of middle income and above would never be able to overcome. These are truly unsung heroes, and we're following the lead of Project Bread and doing the same. And I know many others across the coalition are doing this as well, that we need to listen and learn from folks who face food insecurity, who live it, to understand it so that we can tell stories that are more accurate and overcome the stereotypes that continue to persist from so long ago.
What do you hope, let's say, in a year's time, the coalition looks like in terms of the work that's being done on the ground? What would you hope was moving forward first, I guess, to achieve the goal of making of eliminating hunger permanently in Massachusetts? I'll start with you, Jennifer.
Sure. Yeah. Thinking through a year's time, my hope for the coalition is that we have gone through our comprehensive process that we're going through right now of gathering all of that input from people with lived experience, all of the expertise of the advocates and the policymakers that we're bringing to the table, that we've built out this coalition to include all of those voices and all of those stakeholders, and that we have developed this roadmap that we are ready to implement together. In about a year's time, we'll be looking at, hopefully the first set of policy recommendations from this roadmap beginning its time in whether it's the legislature, but more so that across Massachusetts, the Make Hunger History Coalition is something that people are aware is happening, that they are engaged. We certainly welcome everyone who wants to be a part of this coalition with us, individuals and organizations. It's going to take everyone. And so I in a year's time, I hope what's happening is we're really taking our first steps together on this plan that we will be spending the next several months working on together, and we'll be ready to make that progress.
What do you hope in a year's time, Andrew?
Well, I hope that we'll actually expand some of the initiatives that we're already working on and that the Massachusetts legislature has invested in, things like the Healthy Incentives Program, an effort to address college hunger, and an initiative out here in Western Massachusetts that is focusing on the cliff effect, which occurs when people who receive public assistance and begin to work or see an increase in their wages due to more hours or promotion become ineligible for public assistance and then suddenly lose it all, but aren't earning enough yet to support their families. I hope that a program like that and the others will be expanded to benefit more households across the Commonwealth, because we'll have demonstrated that these are solutions to end hunger, and actually, as we bring them to scale, will serve as role models for other states across the country and ultimately federal government policy.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Jennifer Limmerman is the Chief Policy Officer for Project Bread, and Andrew Morehouse is the Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Coming up, at first glance, venture capital fundraising would not seem to be a great backdrop for a romantic comedy. But that's the world of the fictional Sarah Che, hoping to finance her innovative app, which offers subscribers the last word after death. One Last Word is the latest novel from author Suzanne Park, and it's also our May selection for Bookmarked, the Under the Radar Book Club. That's next. This is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley.